would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. I would like to read from Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. I encourage you to turn in your Bibles and look at that verse of Scripture with me. There is just one verse. I encourage you to go home and read the entire chapter and look at all that Jeremiah was going through. Look at his difficulties. Look at his problems. Look at the paramount trouble that he was having in his life and the way that God communicated with him about those troubles. I would like to read from Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Really, God is, in a way, is rebuking Jeremiah here. Now, Jeremiah was a great man of God. Jeremiah was a man of God that seemed to have no fear of men. He went about preaching the truth. He stood firm on what God moved in his heart to preach, and yet even a great man of God like Isaiah or Jeremiah, the great prophets that we think about, even a man like the Apostle Paul, they're all men. And they all get weak, and they all get weary, and they all get faint. And at this particular time, Jeremiah is weary. He's tired. He's ready to just lay down and give up. Here's what God said to Jeremiah in that feeling that Jeremiah was having. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. God says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" We'd like to pray now and ask you to pray that God will help us as we study God's holy word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God. And we're thankful to know that Thou art not only our God, but our Father. And we're thankful for the ways that You've been with us and blessed us all the days of our lives. But especially, we thank You for Your blessings on Brother Bud and Sister Ruth during this past week. Thank You for being with them and helping them and strengthening and supporting them and their family. And we pray that You would accept our thanksgiving for relieving Brother Richie of the pain that he had been in. And thankful to know that right now he's home with the Lord. Pray that You would continue to comfort them and all the members of their family. And bless the others who have lost loved ones, and bless the others that have family members that are in critical condition. We know that You're the great physician. You can touch and You can heal. But we know that's not always Your will, and we pray that You would help us, Lord, to always be reconciled to Your will, knowing that You're perfect and wise and holy and just and pure, and that Your love is greater than any love that we've ever known here in this world. Thank You for loving us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. Thank You for loving us in spite of all of our unworthiness, in spite of all of our failures. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. We pray now that as we begin to study Thy holy word, that Thou would help us, Thou would teach us, and that Thou would instruct us. We pray in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God is telling Jeremiah here, He says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" God is talking in an illustrative way. He's telling Jeremiah, He says, "Now, you're a soldier." He was not literally a soldier in the sense that he was out fighting a battle with swords and guns and things like that, but he was a soldier of God. And I hope all of us understand that we are also supposed to be soldiers. And in his day, the way that they would fight is they would fight hand-to-hand combat. Some of us have seen movies where they would have a long line of soldiers on each side, and those soldiers would charge toward each other. All of those soldiers were footmen. That is, they were on their feet. All they had was their sword and their shield or something like that. They may have had a gun, but that was footmen. And then do you remember seeing scenes that after the footman would come through, then what would come behind the footman? What would come in? There would be horsemen. There would be men on horses that would come through. Now, had you rather face a man, man to man, on his feet, or would you rather try to fight a man that was on a horse? I would much rather fight one-on-one, man to man, man on his feet. God's using that illustration to say to Jeremiah, he says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses or those that are on horses? If you can't face the troubles and problems on one level, that's a relatively minor level, how can you face problems that are far too great? And I think in all of our lives, we need to pray that God will help us to understand that we are soldiers. God says, fight. This is New Testament. All these are New Testament teachings. Fight the good fight of faith. The Word of God tells us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And all through the New Testament, the Word of God talks about us being soldiers and us having a fight to carry on. Jeremiah had a fight in his day. David had a fight in his day. Now, David often was fighting literal battles, wasn't he? David fought footmen. That is, David literally went out. And he fought, well, what's the first thing you remember that David fought? What's the first thing you remember that the Word of God says that he fought? A lion. Now, those were footmen. Those were compared to footmen. In other words, he was fighting one-on-one like that. And David won that battle with the lion. And then what did he also fight? He fought a bear. And again, that was, you know, something that maybe a man that was strong could fight. But then he came upon someone far greater than the lion or the bear. He came upon Goliath, who was a giant. Now, Goliath wasn't on a horse. I'm telling you, Goliath was bigger than any literal natural soldier David would ever fight. And here was a giant. Now, if David had not been willing to fight the lion and the bear, he certainly would not have been willing to fight the giant. And sometimes in our lives, that's the way we are. That's the way Jeremiah was. That's the way God was speaking to him. He says, now if you have run with the footmen, if you fought the footmen and they have wearied thee, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? And so I would say to you this morning that God is speaking to me and speaking to all of us, and saying that if we can't face the problems of life that we're facing today, and I know all of us are facing different kinds of troubles and different kinds of problems. And again, I mentioned to you that I thank God that Brother Bud and Sister Ruth, did you know they just fought a horseman this week? They've been fighting something bigger than most of us have ever fought. They fought that of their own son in their home, laying there and dying, and he died. But listen, brethren, they fought a good fight. They fought the horsemen. They didn't just fight foot soldiers. They were fighting as big a problem and as big a giant as anybody will ever face in their lives. And they fought and they won that battle. The devil did not get them down. The devil did not defeat them. They overcame the devil. But there's only one way, and that's what we're going to be trying to study this morning, is how can we face the footman? Yes, how can we face the footman? But more important than that, how can you face the horseman? How can you face the giants? How can you face the big problems? And it goes unsaid that you cannot face the horseman if you can't face who? The footman. If you can't face the foot soldiers, you'll never be able to face the soldiers that are on horses. If you can't face the problems, the day-to-day problems, then when the major problems come along, you will not be able to face them. Elijah, all during his life, did he face problems and troubles? He did. And it kind of built up in Elijah's life. What's one of the biggest things that you remember Elijah ever faced? What's one of the biggest?
Jezebel.
Well, no, I don't want to get to that one yet, Brother Mike. That's the biggest one. But before he faced Jezebel, in the previous chapter, Jezebel is in 1 Kings chapter 19. You can go up and read about Jezebel. But now before the dealing with Jezebel, he fought 450 prophets of Baal. I want you to think about that. Was he facing one footman? Now, he had faced one footman many times prior to that. One soldier, two soldiers. And as he faced one footman and another footman, what was he beginning to learn? He was learning how to fight. He was learning how to depend on God. He was learning how to trust in God. And it kept building up until finally he faced 450 enemies of the truth of God. And as he faced those 450 prophets of Baal, he slew them. How could he slay 450 men? I'll tell you, that's getting about to being facing a horseman, isn't it? I believe I'd rather face one horseman than 450 footmen. You face one footman, that's one. You know, how many of you have ever felt like you had just one problem after another? You know, this problem, then this problem, then this problem. And sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. But did you know that no matter how many problems come, doesn't matter whether you're facing one footman, and this is the way you need to begin to think about this. This is just another enemy that's attacking me. And as this enemy attacks me, I need to face that enemy. But I can't face that enemy and win the battle with one horseman, one footman. I can't win the battle with a footman, and I can't win the battle against two footmen, and I can't win the battle against three footmen without God helping me. And that's the main thing I want us to get to, is how can you face the footman? And more importantly, how can you face the horseman? It's in the power of God. You remember when David finally went before Goliath? You remember what he went to Goliath? Did King Saul say, "Put on my armor"? And he put his armor on him. David said, I can't use that. I've not tried it. David went before that giant, and when he faced the giant, he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." That was the power that David had. That was the strength he had. That's what guided that stone when David slung that stone at the giant. David did not have all the skills or the courage to do what he did without God helping him. And you and I need the help of God to face the troubles and problems that we have in our lives. We have footmen to contend with. And there may be one footman, and there may be another footman, and then another, one problem after another. Sometimes I've heard people say, when they've had about three problems, they say, "Well, you know, trouble comes in groups of three." Well, I tell you, sometimes they'll come in groups of 100. Sometimes they'll come with just one tide after another, just overflowing you, unless you're looking to God for the strength that you need. You can't face the footman. And if you can't face the footman, here's what God's telling Jeremiah. If thou hast run with the footman and they have wearied thee, then how can you contend with the horseman? That can be about personal problems and troubles that we have in our lives. It can be attacks on our family. But listen, brethren, it can also be the enemy out there in the world. I'm talking about as Christians, we have footmen to face in our school system, in our government, in our society. There are enemies of God out there, and if we don't stand up and fight the good fight of faith, if we don't look to God for the strength we need, we won't even be able to face the footmen, and then when the soldiers come on the horses, we'll just be run over and trampled under their feet. Do you want to trample Satan under your feet, or do you want Satan to trample you under his feet? Can you trample Satan under your feet? Can you trample these? Do you understand the picture that God's giving us here? If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have, what's the next word that? They have what? They have wearied thee. Do you ever get tired, weary? If the footmen have wearied thee, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? And then he gives a second illustration there. He says, "And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" In other words, if in the land you have been worried about the problems, you've gotten wearied, then when Jordan begins to swell, how are you going to face the problems then? Now, what does that remind you of? When you think about the swelling of the Jordan, does that remind you of anything in the Old Testament? What does it remind you of? Okay, not the flood, but what else? Okay, all right, we'll go to the Red Sea. All right, that's a good one. What I was really talking about was the swelling of the Jordan in the Old Testament. You remember when they crossed the Jordan to go into the land of Canaan, but we'll go to the Red Sea. Back up in your Bibles to Exodus 14. We'll go to the Red Sea because that's another passage that clearly shows what God is talking about here, that we need to learn to face the little problems. We need to learn to face the little problems. If you can't face the little problems, what are you going to do when the big problems come? If the little problems, and you say, well, I'm not worried about the little problems, I'm facing big problems right now. Well, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Everything's relative. Sometimes you think you're facing a big problem, and then something else will come along. It'll make you realize that was a little problem compared to the problem I'm facing today. But no matter how big the problems get, none of the problems are bigger than the power of God. And so by the grace of God and with the help of God, by the power of God, we can defeat even the horsemen. In Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 7 and going through the end of this chapter, the Word of God describes here where the children of Israel were coming out of Egyptian bondage. And you remember who was behind the children of Israel? As they got to the Red Sea, and that's what this passage is primarily talking about, them coming to the Red Sea. Do you remember the situation they were in was that the Red Sea was in front of them, and who was behind them? Okay, Pharaoh and his what?
Armies.
And guess what was in that army? There were footmen, but guess what else there was in that army? There were horsemen in that army. And so they had footmen behind them chasing them. They had horsemen behind them chasing them. And they had a sea in front of them that they could not cross. They couldn't cross the sea, and they couldn't fight the enemy. They couldn't win the battle. The only hope they had was what? It was the same. That's why I say it again, Sister Nellie. God. That was the only hope they had. Have you ever been there? Sometimes we use different kinds of illustrations. We say, well, I'm between a rock and a hard place, and I don't know what to do. Well, children of Israel between the sea and the Egyptian army. Did they know what to do? Did they know what to do? Do you know what to do when you get in a bad situation? Do you know what to do when you have great trouble in your life? Do you know what to do? Sister Nelly said, I do. Yes, you do. I hope all of us do. And I hope we'll do what we know we ought to do. You know, it's easy for me to sit in church and say, I know what to do. Did you know that? But you get right out there in the battlefield. You get in the midst of battle. This is kind of like sitting in a classroom where soldiers are getting some instruction on what to do out in the battlefield. And there are a lot of soldiers that can sit in a classroom and they can talk about, yes, I'll be a good soldier. Yes, I'll fight good. I'll face the enemy. But you get out on the battlefield, you get out there in the trenches, you get out there and actually face the enemy, you're going to find it's a lot more difficult and it's a lot different out on the battlefield than it is in the classroom. It's easy to talk about how much courage we have as long as we're sitting in the classroom. But let's get out there and work every day and face the enemy, face the giants, face the horsemen out there. And then we'll see how much courage and strength and faith we have. And if our confidence is in God, then we can even defeat the what? Even defeat the horsemen. That's right. Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel are being chased by the Egyptian army. I want you to come down to verse 10. Look at verse 10. You go home and read Exodus chapter 14, the entire passage. But Exodus 14, verse 10, the Word of God says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And what's the next expression say? And the children of Israel, what did they do? Cried out unto the Lord. Now, what do you need to do when you're facing the horsemen? What do you need to do? Do you need to just try to face them by yourself? Have you ever tried to face the horsemen? Have you ever tried to face the footmen by yourself? You know what happens when I try to face the footmen by myself? I lose. And sometimes I win. And you know what I begin to feel when I when I didn't really pray to God and I faced some footmen and I've won a battle or two here and there against some footmen. You know, it's just human against human. I win a few battles. You know what I begin to feel? Anybody have any idea how you feel when you win some battles without asking the Lord for help? Pretty full of pride. You think, I can handle this. Well, guess what's going to happen when you think you can handle something? The Bible says that he that thinketh he standeth better take heed lest he fall. If you think you can face the troubles and problems of life, if you think you've been handling it by yourself and you don't need God's help, guess what's fixing to happen? God's fixing to send some horsemen in there and you'll find out you can't face the battles. You can't win the battles. In fact, he doesn't even have to send some horsemen in there. All he's got to send is a little David, a little shepherd boy in there, and boom, down you'll go. Sometimes it's the little things that trip up the children of God and they fall flat on their face. They never saw it coming. They never realized that something so small and so insignificant could ruin their lives. But it can happen to you and it can happen to me unless we look to God for the strength and grace we need. And when the children of Israel were sore afraid, by the way, again, remember what was behind them? The horsemen and the footmen were behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. You remember what God did? God told Moses to take his rod, you remember how the sea parted there? And the Word of God says the children of Israel marched through on dry ground. You remember that? And then here come, who was coming right behind them still? The horsemen and the footmen were following. And they were in their chariots. And guess what began to happen to those chariots? God began, now remember the children of Israel went through on dry ground. God began to make that dry ground mud. And those chariots bogged down. And when those chariots began to bog down, then God released the water and the Egyptian army was devoured. The Bible says that every one of the horsemen was killed by the flood coming down on them, the water coming down on them. Now, who saved the children of Israel? Who fought the battle there? Let me ask you that. Let's back up a minute. Who fought the battle? God fought the battle. But did the children of Israel do something right in order for God to fight the battle? Yes. What did they do? There's something the children of Israel did that moved and motivated God to do what He did. What did they do? They cried unto the Lord. And when they cried unto the Lord heard their prayers, and the Lord delivered them. And we need to remember that the Word of God says that the battle is not ours, but what? The Lord's. And we can face the giants, no matter how big the problems get, no matter how big the horsemen are, doesn't matter how big the problems are in our lives, we can face them if only one way, if we what? If we look to the Lord, cry to the Lord, if our strength is from the Lord, we can face the footmen and the horsemen. But you never, ever better get proud because you won a battle. You know what will happen? If you think you did it, you start getting full of pride because you won a battle, down you'll go. Remember, here's what David said in Psalm 27, verse 1. He says, The Lord is my strength. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If the Lord is my strength, can I go on? Can I win the battles? And I know that all through this congregation, there are different ones of you that have different kinds of battles that you're facing. Major troubles in different situations. But by the grace of God, with the power of God, with the help of God, and with the strength of God, you can win the battle over Satan and everything he brings in your life. Isn't it wonderful to feel the power of God? When David says, "The Lord is my strength. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength." Now, if the Lord is your strength, there's nobody you have to fear. There's nobody you should fear. Because if the Lord is your strength, you'll win the battle. Go with me to Ephesians. Turn to the New Testament very quickly, just a moment. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 6 that the Word of God tells us to be strong. And if I were to write now, say, Brother Walker awake? Are you strong, Brother Walker? Yes, he is. I knew he'd nod yes. Yes, he's strong. How old are you, Walker? 3 years old, but he's strong. Now, isn't it good that a three-year-old can feel strong? Is that good? Yes, that's good. Does he have some confidence? He has some confidence. He caught a 46.5-pound catfish yesterday. Now, that's a pretty strong boy. Didn't catch a catfish that big. 46.5 pounds. But listen, I believe that he's being trained in such a way that even though he feels strong right now, I believe he's going to feel stronger and stronger in some ways, but he's going to begin to feel weaker and weaker in some ways. Do all of you understand what I mean by that? I want all of you to understand that there's a sense in which I am a weakling. I'm weak and frail. But there's a sense in which I can be strong even when I'm weak. In fact, the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul said, that it's in our weakness that His strength is made perfect. And so I believe that as Walker grows, he's going to learn, I'm not near as strong by myself. I'm not near as strong as a man. I'm not near as strong as a young man as I thought I was when I was 3 years old. He may be physically strong, but he's going to realize that without God, he is... What is he? Say it again. Okay, he's not strong. He is nothing without God. Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. Now that's some teaching that we all need to be doing. That you can be strong in the Lord, but without God, you're nothing. You'll fall. You'll fail every time. Listen now to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10, the Word of God says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, can you face the problems of life and the troubles of life? How many problems do you have? Is a washing machine breaking down? Is that a problem? Is your car breaking down? Is that a problem? You have all kinds of problems. And those are, now would you say that's the footman or the horseman? I think that's the footman. All these problems we have, those are just the footman. And if you go to pieces with the footman, if they weary you, what are you going to do, God says, when the horsemen come? And so He says now, you need to trust in the Lord, and you can be strong. But you only can be strong in the Lord. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Listen now to verse 11. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You could probably, if I went over this congregation, you could probably come up with every part of the armor of God. But it does not matter that you can quote the parts of the armor of God. If you can say, well, we've got to put on the helmet of what? Tell me, helmet of what?
Salvation.
Salvation. Have your feet shod with what?
Preparation
of the gospel of peace. Take the sword of the what?
Spirit.
Take the shield of what?
Faith.
Have your loins girt about with what?
Faith.
Have the breastplate of what?
Faith.
Okay, you've got the armor now. All of you know. Does it do any good just to know? Now I'm going to ask, how many of you have on the whole armor of God? See? Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. Now, if you know what the parts of the armor of God are, and you've put on this morning, by the way, you don't put it on one time and it stays on. You have to put it on every day. Sometimes I have to put it on several times a day. But you put on the whole armor of God every day. And don't leave part of the armor off. You've got to have on the whole armor of God, because the devil will find whatever part of the armor you don't have on, he'll find your weak point, he'll attack you right there, and he'll win the battle. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you're going to be strong, and you're going to be able to fight, and you're going to be able to win the battles, and you can face the footmen, and you can face the horsemen, and you can face the giants. You know, Jonathan go out against, you remember Jonathan and his armor bearer? You remember who they went out against? They went against the whole army. You're talking about somebody that was brave and full of courage. Those two men, they didn't just go, you know, you read about, we hear a lot about David fighting the giant. Well, that's fine, well, and good. And that was certainly a great feat and a wonderful accomplishment. By the grace of God, he beat the giant. But I have more respect for Jonathan, who went out and fought the whole army by himself. Now, that took courage. And his confidence was in one thing. His confidence was in God. You know where the rest of the children of Israel, I'm talking about the soldiers, you know where the rest of the Israelite soldiers were when Jonathan and his armor bearer went charging forward to fight the enemy? You know where the rest of the soldiers were? The Bible says they were in their holes. They were hiding from the enemy. What about Jonathan and his armor bearer? Were they strong? You think it was just physical muscles? You think that's what it was that enabled Jonathan and his armor bearer to go out and face the enemy? They went in the name of what? The name of the Lord. By the way, what is the name of the Lord?
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Jesus. The name of the Lord is Jesus. That's the name that's above every name. And when you go out to fight the devil, you better not forget to take Jesus, the name of Jesus, with you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything we do needs to be done in the name of the Lord. And then you can win the battles. You can face the footmen if you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand and to withstand. Come down to verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Next verse starts out, "Stand therefore." Stand, stand, stand. Are you standing? Do you know the reason that the devil is winning the battle in America today? Do you know why evil is just overtaking America today? It's because the churches are not standing. It's because the Christians are not being Christians. It's because the Christians are not being good soldiers. It's because the Christians are not looking to God for the strength they need to be able to face the enemy. And we're running from even the little what? We're running from the footman. Oh, good gracious. You're going to run from the footman. You're going to run from the footman. The horseman will never even have to come. Your life will be destroyed because you ran from the footman. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horsemen? Go with me in closing to one other scripture. I want you to back up in your Bibles just to three or four pages from where we are. Back up to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll close with this one particular passage in Galatians. Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. You remember there was one word over there in where we started out this morning in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. There was one word that was used twice there. There was one word that was used twice. Do any of you remember what the one word was that was used twice, Brother Wendell?
Wearied.
If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horsemen? And then he says, if you've been on the land and they have wearied you on the land, then how are you going to be able to stand with the swelling of Jordan? Now he talks about being wearied. Do you ever get weary? Do you ever get weary? You know, it's amazing the power and the strength that God can give you when you're weary. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle how God can just take you when you're just completely, totally exhausted and don't have 1 ounce of physical strength. It's amazing the power of God that can fill your body and lift you up and give you the strength and grace you need. Do you sometimes feel weary that you can't go out and visit or you can't go do something? Well, listen, here's what God's Word says. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Galatians 6, verse 9, the Word of God says, "And let us not be..." What's the next word there? "Let us not be weary in well-doing." Now, let's talk about well-doing just a minute. Listen, if you don't do much well-doing, you're not going to get weary in well-doing, are you? But if you're doing a lot of well-doing after you do all the other things you need to do, if you're doing a lot of well-doing, well, let me just back up. I really misspoke right there, because you need to be doing well on your job, don't you? What I was thinking was, when you come home from work, then you need to start well-doing. Wrong. That was totally false. When do you need to do well? You need to do well on your job. That's well-doing. If you're not a good employee, if you're not working hard, if you're not laboring hard, if you're not one of the best employees wherever you work, you're not a good Christian. Christians should be the very best employees that anyone ever has. Why? Because the Word of God says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. And the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. We're to work hard. We're to be good workers. Whatever I am, I want to be the best there is. If I'm a good Christian. If I'm a ditch digger, I want my boss to look around and say, by George, that Bill Mullis, he digs ditches better than anybody I've ever seen. Whatever it is you do, you need to strive to be the best you can possibly be. Is that doing well? Is that well doing? Do good on the job. And then when you get off the job, you're just worn out from doing well on the job. So I can understand why you just sit down and do nothing. No, no, no. What are you going to do then? What are you facing when you get home from work? You've been doing hard work all day. What are you facing then? You're facing some soldiers. What kind? You're going to face the horsemen or the footmen when you get home and you're worn out and yet you feel like you need to go visit or help somebody or do something. What are you facing then? Okay. We've got differences of opinion. Doesn't matter how you view it. You're still facing the enemy, right? Whether you consider it the horseman or the footman, I'm going to say you're just still facing the footman right then. And every day, see, we're in well-doing. Let us not be what? Let us not be weary in well-doing. Working hard on the job, doing other things to help people when you get off your regular job. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And let us not be weary in out there fighting the battles. Is that part of well-doing? All that's part of well-doing. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what happens to most soldiers in the army of God? You know what happens to most soldiers in the army of God? Most soldiers, five-letter word, faint. Thank you, Brother Neil. Most soldiers faint. Most soldiers get weary. Most soldiers lay down. Most soldiers give up. But we're in the army of God. We're supposed to be strong soldiers. You say, well, I just can't do it. No, you can't by yourself. And that's the whole point of what I'm trying to get across. It's to be strong in the Lord. It's when you feel like you can't go one step further that you lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, that you lift up your eyes to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I need to run this race. I need to be a good soldier. I want you to help me. I want you to give me the strength I need to go one step further on. I want to go into one more battle. I want to fight one more time. I want to fight with the enemy and I want to win another battle today. I want to defeat Satan one more time today. When the devil tells me I'm too tired and too weary and too faint, I need to say, God, give me the strength I need to go one step on. Work, 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 for the night is coming when no man can work. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.